The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. As we began to see last time, Hannah was a faithful mother in Israel who trusted God to bless her and to protect her child, Samuel. She prayed to God fervently and trusted God implicitly. Join us today as we conclude our exposition of the life of Hannah, a faithful mother.
Oh, See, Hannah prayed the right prayer. She not only had her priorities right, she prayed the right prayer. And it was a focused prayer. You remember the model prayer that God gives us, Christ gave us? Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. These are focused prayers. These are prayers for this day. Our prayer ought to be every day for what we need for that day. And her prayer was focused upon the right things for the right time. I've been asked before, should we pray for specific outcomes? And absolutely we should pray for specific outcomes. But you always ought to tag it with, thy will be done. That's the prayer that's always answered, by the way. You're always going to get a yes answer when you pray, Lord, I need this, I believe I need that, I want this other, but thy will be done. And mean it, and mean it. That prayer is always answered. Notice that verse 11 here, it says in verse 10, back in 1 Samuel, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, listen to her prayer, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head. Notice what she's doing here. She is focused upon her problems, and she's turning them over to the Lord. She's saying, God, I'm in trouble. I'm struggling here. I have bitterness of soul. I have an adversary that's against me. But I'm praying, God, that you will just grant me this. And she was focused upon those problems, praying this prayer, but it was also a very fervent prayer. What does James say in James 5:16? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That word effectual, fervent, that describes the prayer, is two English words that are required to translate one Greek word. The Greek word is energio, energio. Sounds a little bit like energy, doesn't it? In fact, that's where we get our word energy or energetic. And literally it means to be active or to be efficient, to show forth work or to work effectually, to be mighty in work. Notice what she did, verse 10. She wept sore. She wasn't just going to the Lord and saying, okay, by the way, I need this, Lord. She was weeping sore. Over in Psalm 42, there's so many good examples of fervent prayers and situations where fervent prayer is needed in the Psalm. Psalm 42 and verse 1. This is what we base one of our songs upon. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. That word panteth there literally means to bray. That hart, that deer is calling out, is in such dire need that he's braying after the water brooks. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And listen to what this man is saying. This prayer that's being prayed here, he's, I'm starving, Lord. I'm starving. You know, Sunday is not, church day is not just another thing to check off my list. I can't wait for it. When can I go and appear before you again, Lord? You know, that's something that I'm guilty of, and I'm sure you are too. Sometimes we get so busy during the week, and you've got this to do and that to do and the other to do, and oh, by the way, I've got to go to church on Sunday. No, beloved, you get to go to church on Sunday. It's a blessing to get to go there. Sometimes when I'm in the right frame of mind and I'm in the middle of a bad, difficult week, I'm longing, my heart is panting after the water brooks of the gospel to hear the gospel preached one more time. My heart is panting after the Lord. When can I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. And he goes on to talk about how the times were when he was with the multitudes worshiping. And ultimately he reinforces to himself, verse 5, why art thou cast down, my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. This woman was weeping sore like the psalmist there in Psalm 119. The psalm that we know is written primarily about the Word of God. It's what the Bible says about the Bible. In verse 145 of Psalm 119, it says, I cried with my whole heart, Hear me, O God. Hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee. Save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I don't know what's going on in the life of this psalmist here at this time, but something is, and he's struggling with it. Verse 147 says, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. By the way, he gives us the answer of where to go for help in those times, doesn't he? He says, I can't sleep. You know, I struggle with that. The older I get, the harder it is. The harder it is to fall asleep, and then I get tired during the day, and I think I'll take a nap, and I can't take a nap. It's just getting to where it looks like the only rest I'm ever going to get is when I get to heaven. But here we see that the answer for those times of struggle are to go to the Word of God and to meditate. But notice here, this woman, like the psalmist, was engaged in a fervent prayer. Her prayer wasn't just some ritual repetition, good food, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. That's not what she was praying. Those little prayers that we teach our kids are fine. They're fine. But, you know, by the time you're 45, you shouldn't still be saying, now I lay me down to sleep. You should be having some other kind of prayer going on. And that doesn't mean a vocal prayer necessarily. It doesn't mean we're going to see she wasn't praying out loud. Most of my praying is within myself and just me and the Lord. And sometimes, you know, Paul said, pray without ceasing. Go down this, you know, driving down the road, we should be praying. I hope you're not closing your eyes when you're driving down the road praying. You don't have to do that to be in prayer. Sometimes it's good to get into the posture of prayer. But we should always be in the mindset of prayer. Notice her prayer, verse 12. It came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved. But her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. You know, this prayer here, she was so caught up in her communion with God that Eli the priest thought she was crazy, thought she was drunk. Now, I'm not saying that's how we ought to be. We ought to be acting crazy out there. But there may be times in my life and your life where others think we're weird or think we're different. Think that we're crazy, but you know that doesn't matter because it says she spake in her heart. She spake in her heart. That's where prayer begins. Prayer starts in our heart. It's not about who can stand up and pray the longest, most beautiful prayer, the most eloquent prayer. It's good. It's good that the men of this church are able to stand up at the appropriate time and pray a public prayer. But that's not the prayer God's looking for the most. What God's looking for is a prayer like this that began and she spake in her heart. And it says in verse 14, Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Let me just tell you, we ought to be very careful about being too judgmental. We ought to be very careful about the judgments that we reach based on what we see, because we don't see like God sees. It says, Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Notice she said, I'm praying out of the abundance of my complaint and grief. That's why I'm praying. I've got problems. I need to pray. I need to be in the presence of the Lord. I need his help. See, Hannah prayed the right prayer. It was a faithful prayer. It was a fervent prayer. It was a focused prayer. It was faithful. She prayed for Samuel even before he was conceived. Think about who Samuel was. Samuel was the greatest character that we read about in the Old Testament between Moses and David. He was that last of the judges and the first of the prophets. God gave Samuel to Hannah, who prayed for a child that she could give back to him. See, she knew God could do anything. These other barren women in the Bible, there's many examples of that. Sarah laughed about it. She didn't think God could do it, but God did it anyway. Rachel prayed for a child in expectation and hope, and she got one. Elizabeth in the New Testament, I don't know what her expectation was, but they had prayed for a long time. See, Hannah knew God is able to give a child, and she trusted God to take care of that which he would give her. Remember back in verse 11, she said, If you'll give me a child, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And something else about Hannah that's so important. Hannah performed her promise to the Lord. She didn't forget her vow. It's easy to forget what you told God you'd do when the crisis is heavy, right? You know, right in the middle of crisis, Lord, I'm gonna quit drinking. I'm gonna quit smoking. I'm gonna quit eating too much. I'm gonna quit this. I'm gonna quit that. You know, we always, in the middle of the crisis, you promise God a lot, right? There's many deathbed recoveries, though, that lead to reneged vows to God. Many times that happens, and that's because we're human. But not Hannah, not Hannah. If you continue reading, you remember verse 11, she had promised to make him, she had promised two things. She said, God, I will give him to you, and he will be a Nazarite. Now, you've got to turn over to Numbers to read about the Nazarites, but, you know, Samson was a Nazarite. That was somebody who was specifically dedicated to God. And she said, no razor shall come upon his head. That's what she's talking about. He's going to be set apart, a holy child to you, Lord. And she said in verse 26, she said, oh, my Lord, as thy soul... Well, let's back up to verse 24. When she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young, and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. She had promised to lend him to the Lord. She had promised, it's not in the sense that we think about lending. You know, if we lend something, if you lend me something, you expect me to give it back someday. If I lend something to somebody, I expect to get it back one day. But she was surrendering ownership in a sense, her ownership interest in this child to God who had given him to her in the first place. You know, sometimes we get into this idea of we're going to, like giving money to God, our free will offerings to the Lord that we believe here that we should give in a free manner. You know, so, well, Lord, I'm going to give God so much percentage, 10% or whatever of my money. Well, listen, God already owns 100% of your stuff. If you give him 10% back, you're just giving him back what he's already given to you. Over in 1 Chronicles 29, you don't have to turn there, but beginning about verse 14, David was speaking to God. He was speaking to the people and praying to God about the preparations for building the temple that Solomon would do. And this is what he said. He said, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. And you come down to church and say, God, here's something you didn't have, then you might as well keep it because you're not doing yourself any good. But let me tell you, when you come to the church and you give to the church or you give of your time, you know, it's not just about money. It's about your time. It gives of your efforts, your hospitality. When you give of that, you're just giving back to God what he's blessed you with in the first place. And there's a sense in which what we give to God may actually be said to be lent to him because we know that God will repay it with interest. Now, this is not the name it and claim it gospel. This is not the prosperity gospel. This is the truth from God's word. Proverbs 19 and verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. It's not talking about the poor paying back. It's talking about God paying you back. When you have mercy on the poor, when you give to those in need, you can rest assured that in some manner or some fashion, God will bless you. It may not be monetarily. You know, the prosperity gospel says, you give me $100, you'll get $10,000 back. Beloved, I'm not expecting that. But I'll tell you what I am expecting. When I give to the poor, or I give to the church, or I help somebody out, and I try to do what God says, I can expect the blessings of God. What does it say in Luke 6:28? Christ said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. There are blessings in following God. There are blessings in giving to God that which he has blessed you with. See, she did not forget her vow. And then she influenced her child for God. Now listen to me, parents, especially you younger parents, but older parents too, that even have grown children. We can't teach our children to know God, but we can teach them about God. I heard Brother Sonny Powell say it this way one time. We can give them the letter of the law. God has to give them the spirit of the law. But if one day God sees fit to give them the spirit of the law, they'll already know the letter. They'll already have it. I heard there was a time when Brother Mackey probably remembers this, among primitive Baptists and others that believed in the truth of grace, they said, well, I just don't want to influence my children. I just don't want to influence them in any way. Brother Sonny Powell said, you don't want to influence your children? He said, I'm trying to brainwash mine. I'm trying to teach them about the things of God. I don't know if they're children of God or not, but I know this, that God will take care of them. God will bless his word to whatever extent he desires to bless it. It will not return unto him void. Notice verse 19 back here in 1 Samuel. They rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. I love that. I don't have time to preach on that. I need the Lord to remember me, don't you? I need the Lord to remember me, but praise God he does. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then will I bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And then we've already read that she took him up. Verse 24, she took him up, even though the child was young. Verse 24, it says the child was young, and she brought him to the house of the Lord. Now notice what she's doing. She's keeping that child with her, and she is influencing him. I don't know how old he was when he was taken there, but he was well weaned. He was a young child. He was able to worship the Lord, we're told in verse 28. So she trusted, she influenced that child, she taught that child, she kept that child with her, she focused upon that child, and then she took him to the place where God was worshiped. She trusted her child with God. Now I know what you're thinking, because it's the same thing I'm thinking. What a difficult thing to do. What a hard thing it would be to take a young child and leave that child at the temple with someone else. But listen to me, she wasn't some hard-hearted woman that just decided to give a child away. Far be it from that. She had always, if you look over in chapter 2, this always touches my heart. In chapter 2, after she had left him there and she prayed that sweet prayer, verse 18, we're told that Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. She didn't just forget about him. She wasn't hard-hearted. She wasn't there saying, I don't have time for this child. I've got other duties and other things to do. She loved that child. That always touches me, that she never forgot him. She always took care of him. She wanted to make sure he was not cold in the winter. She wanted to make sure that some of his needs were taken care of. It takes a lot of faith to turn over your children to the Lord. And look, nowadays that doesn't mean you bring your babies down to me, okay? Don't do that, please. But it does mean that whatever your circumstances are, you turn those children over to God. You remember Jochebed, the mother of Moses? Remember, it tells us in Hebrews 11:23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. We preached a little bit about on that recently. Jochebed was not afraid to trust God with her baby. in the most dire of circumstances. But now listen, she did all she could do to help him. She did all she could do to help him. She didn't just go down to the Nile River and throw him out in the water and say, God, take care of him. She created a little ark of safety. She built it to put him in it and to keep him encapsulated in that as she set him to drift on that Nile River. She trusted God. She did what God would have her to do to prepare that child, and then she trusted God in those circumstances. You see, we can trust God with our children. We can do that. We can trust God with anything. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, he said, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Did you know God can keep what you've committed to him? Now look, you know I'm not talking about eternal life here, right? You know I'm talking about those who have been regenerated, those who have been born again. We're talking about committing to him the things of our daily life. Our eternity has always been committed to him. Our eternal life has always been in his hands. But it's the things of our daily walk, the struggles that we face, we need to turn those things over to him. As we close this morning, let's think about two or three things and we'll bring this to a close. First of all, if you're a young mother, if you have young children or children of any age still at home, commit your children to the Lord. A family isn't something you should just go out and say, hey, this sounds neat, I'll just have some children. No, it should be the result of much prayer. It should be the result of prayers like Hannah's. Hannah prayed for her child before he was even conceived. But even when the surprises come, and they will potentially, it's not too late to pray and commit them to the Lord. And remember that the place where your children can grow and learn and be blessed is the place where God has promised to shepherd his children and bless them. Hannah didn't look around for the place with the best youth group or the best youth program. That would have been the temples of Baal in that day. Instead, she took Samuel to the house of God, the place where God said is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Didn't look like too much, I'm sure, to the world. And it may not today, even the religious world, but it is the place of all places in this world that we ought to be raising our children. Amen. If you're an older mother with grown children or simply a mother in Israel that has no natural children, commit your life to the Lord, and the children and grandchildren and others in the church around you will see your example and be influenced by it. Sometime read Titus chapter 2 and verses 1 through 8, and you'll see how the older women influence the younger women, and by the way, the older men influence the younger men as well. And finally, let me just leave you with this. You may not have had the perfect mother. You may not have been the perfect mother. But you can strive to be a mother in Israel every day. Every day. How? By doing like Hannah, by placing the right priorities in your life. By praying the right kind of prayers every day about the right kind of things, and by performing the duties that God has placed upon you as a mother and a parent. God will help you as you strive to serve him, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Thank you for joining us today on the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. I hope the message has been uplifting and beneficial to you, and that the Lord will continue to bless you to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Join us again tomorrow for another message of God's sovereign grace. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.